Welcome back, venturers, to the frozen north. We are delighted to have you in our party as we wrestle with the chilling horrors of Icewind Dale. But before we dive in, I want to remind you folks that now is the perfect time to join the Venture Maidens Patreon because our third issue of our fanzine is about to drop. For those not in the know, we have started creating biannual zines that we mail to our $10 and up Patreon donors. These zines are booklets printed on beautiful, high-quality paper, jam-packed with art, fanfiction, D&D monsters, magic items, puzzles, games, quizzes, adventures, encounters, and so much more. If you become a Patreon donor right now, at the $10 level or higher, you will get on the list to receive this latest issue mailing out in July. And if you can't afford the $10 level, don't worry, our $5 patrons get a PDF version of the zine. So head over to patreon.com/venturemaidens to make sure you don't miss out. We also want to take a moment to say thank you to today's sponsor, Describe. Describe is a brand new online service that provides exceptional box text for all your gaming needs. When you have a subscription to Describe, you never have to worry about creating a description on the fly or struggling to set the scenic mood. Describe has a professional team of writers constantly creating new scenes of places, monsters, and spells, so you can always find the perfect box text to read during gameplay. So start the adventure of a lifetime and visit describe.com/penwitch to check it out. That is Describe spelled Describe.com/penwitch. And better yet, try Describe for 2 weeks absolutely free by using code PENWITCH at checkout. All right, my lovelies, I'm going to give you a quick recap of what happened last time, then we'll dive right into the action. Last time, on Venture Maiden's Play, Rime of the Frost Maiden, our heroes stomped some Duergar face in a hidden bunker and apprehended their leader, Caldro Sunblight. After taking down most of the guards and their zombie ogre henchmen, our team recovered the goods stolen from the people of Kaer Konig and returned to town with goats and their prisoner in tow. After learning the disturbing news that more Duergar might be infiltrating the nearby town of Easthaven, the party decided to start the journey there post-haste. Unfortunately for them, they quickly ran into trouble on the road as a furious blizzard drove them to seek cover in a very suspicious-looking cabin. And that's what happened! Now, let's get on with the show. Okay, here we go, and we are now live! Hello, everybody! Welcome to the third episode of our Icewind Dale Rime of the Frost Maiden playthrough. If you are brand new, welcome. We are the Venture Maidens. This is our channel. We're so happy to have you. Before we dive into tonight's game, I do want to remind folks that this is a horror campaign, which means that there are some dark themes in here, themes such as suffocation, cannibalism, all kinds of stuff going on here. I've forgotten the very long list. So if any of those things might be a trigger for you, just giving fair warning right now, this may not be the stream for you. But with that said, welcome everybody. Let's go around, introduce everybody we have here. I'll start. My name is Celeste Conowich. Tonight I'm going to be your dungeon master.
And I'm Joe. I'll be playing Gob, the North Fighter.
I'm Katie. I'm going to be playing Minerva Tinklebobble, the Human Wizard.
And I'm Nassim, and I am playing Zeno Rendi, your Kalishtar Cleric.
And I'm Sage, and I play Inga Selenin, your Circle of the Stars Druid.
And last but not least, I'm Vincent, your Certified Freak, 7 days a week, Hexblade Warlock Veronica.
Oh, yes. Very good. Very good. Rhymes. Whoa. What a party. Such a beautiful party as well. If you are not caught up and you would like to get caught up maybe after this live stream, we do post all of our back episodes on YouTube. So the crew so far has faced some troubles in Icewind Dale. Really the tip of the iceberg, if you will. So that's where we are. All around you, a blizzard is raging. Blizzards like this are quite common in Icewind Dale, and you know the best thing to do in a blizzard is to get cover and get cover quickly before you die of exposure, before creatures that thrive in blizzards come to feed on you. All kinds of bad reasons to be out here. So right now, the wind is just roaring at just such an intense volume that you all can barely talk to each other if you shout at the top of your lungs. Visibility is maybe like 10 feet out in front of you. And Inga, you had managed to make some survival checks and find this shelter, this cabin that you had seen out of the way. So it was just a reminder. I have some box text for you all that I can go over. But perched on the edge of a snowy ridge above a gorge is a black lodge on wooden stilts. Whatever path may have led to this ramshackle retreat lies buried under snow. Icy steps climb to a snow-covered walkway that clings to the south side of the structure. The building's slumped posture and sagging snow-covered roof, coupled with the broken windows and loose flapping shutters, suggest utter abandonment. Large snowdrifts huddle around the rotting stilts and engulf a nearby woodshed and outhouse. Only the wind visits this sinister place.
Ooh.
It's probably fine.
Yeah, it'll be this fine.
Cabin.
It's good. Yeah.
Yeah. This rotting, shaking cabin that's precariously perched on the edge of this gorge here lies in front of you. And like I said, you know, there does seem to be like a little outhouse off to one side here. But the bulk of the building itself is there in front of you. You can see one entry door, actually two entry doors.
If anybody's got to go, do it now.
Well, as we approach real quick, just to be sure, as we get to like one of the doors, Inga is going to quickly cast Find Traps, which has a range or the total area that is covered of 120 feet. So if there is anything that would inflict sudden or unexpected harm to us, it will bling on my radar.
Is that the language of the spell? Read me that language real quick.
You
just specific.
The presence of a trap within range that is... Oh, it has to be within line of sight. A trap for the purpose of the spell includes anything that would inflict sudden or unexpected harm or unexpected effect you would consider harmful or undesirable, which is specifically intended as such by its creator. Thus, a spell would sense an area affected by an alarm spell, a glyph of warding, or a mechanical pit trap, but would not reveal a natural weakness in the floor, an unstable ceiling, or a hidden sinkhole.
Got it. Okay. So with that in mind, you kind of send out your senses here, and I'll even say, you know, you can open up the door and just get a read in here. Nothing is pinging your senses here. You just, you know, from this squinting kind of outside view, you just see, a pretty empty, rotted cabin.
Inga shouts off, "It seems harmless enough!" And she'll beckon everyone inside as she, pulls out a lantern and starts taking a super quick survey around the room.
Sure.
Yeah, I'd ride Balto Thunder up the gangway or whatever it is that leads up to the house.
The icy steps that are broken in a lot of places. Clearly nobody has maintained this place. And with, you know, the weather being what it is, you're not really surprised that the building has so much damage done to it. So as you all step into this main room here, you see this room contains lingering smells of burnt wood and flesh. You also catch the faint odor of wine. Snow has fallen through holes in the roof, then been pushed into the corners by stiff winds blowing through broken windows. The walls and furniture are scorched black, including a table with the charred remains of a book on it. Next to the table, on the floor, amid several broken wine bottles, is a mostly incinerated skeleton and a round, frost-covered object about 6 inches in diameter. So let me go ahead and I'm going to show you all this object that you see. Wait, where is it?
It's beautiful.
This is what you see.
if we have a moment, seeing this disturbing shit in front of us, friends, mind if I cast Identify on that there doodad?
Please. Yeah.
Go You're for more it. Than welcome yeah. to.
So Minnie just kind of sits down near it, and she, like, takes Jingles, who she's been wearing, like, a scarf just draped around her neck, just sets him down, he splutes out, and she's gonna take 10 minutes to cast Identify on this.
Okay, sure. Question. How do you do that? What does it look like when you are casting your spell?
Yeah, so Minnie just basically sits down and gets like this really pensive look on her face. And almost like she's like going through like a swipe screen. She just kind of like swipes with her finger and like a little tendril of magical energy reaches out and like touches it and almost regards a new section of it.
Okay, cool. So while you were taking 10 minutes to do this, what are the rest of you doing? You can see that there are several doors that lead off of this cabin here. Actually, I can show you all real quick the graphic of this cabin. Here you go. So this is, it's a pretty small cabin. As you're looking at it, you are in this main central room here. You do see that there are doors leading off to three rooms on the northern side. And then a room on the southern side here. So there are a few different places you can go. But what are you all doing?
Good. Dismount Balto Thunder. Give him a pat down. You know, feed him some food and let him be content in the corner doing whatever he's going to do.
Veronica. His puppy senses. Veronica is going to take down some of her, like, extra winter clothing because, you know, it's real warm in here. And
love it.
What? She's good. She has a new hairstyle like every week. Come on.
Oh, so good.
I was reading and I looked up and I just saw magnificence.
Yes. This is the first time we've seen Verona without it because it's so cold. Right.
It's so constantly. Cold. My hair's turning blue, guys. What do you want me to do? It's fine. She's going to head up to the door at the northwest and like put her ear to it and see if she can hear anything.
Okay. Yeah. So you do. And I'll say, I mean, through the holes in the ceiling and the broken windows, you can really just hear the roaring of wind that would probably drown out any subtler sound.
Well, I've got nothing. Anyone else?
You said that there were like a lot of broken windows in this place, right? I'll probably stay close by Minnie and just try to cover up the windows with whatever's around. If there's anything in this room, like a blanket or chunks of wood.
Yeah. So as you're looking, around this room, you see, I mean, most of the furniture that was in here is, again, has been just scorched by some kind of something. So most of the furniture in this room just falls apart when you try to touch it. But there are other rooms. Maybe there is more.
Another. Can process. I saunter up to that corpse on the floor? Give it a little, you know, poke with my boot?
Yeah, you definitely can. So the corpse is currently holding the item that Minnie is examining. So do you still want to poke the
you
corpse?
You gotta focus, Minnie. You gotta focus. no, I'll just do a visual look at it, see if I can, what kind of, you know, was it an elf, a dwarf, or anything like that?
Yeah, so you are looking at this body in front of you. The flesh has certainly burned away on it, but you think probably human? Human in size, it's very clearly not like a gnome or a dwarf to you. And it seems to be bipedal, two arms.
And does it smell freshly, you know, fried?
It, no, you're not sure if it's like the cold that's preserving it or that so much of the flesh is burnt away that it's not smelling. All you're getting is like that campfire smell that fills this room pretty strongly, and then that other scent, that scent of wine that you smelled kind of permeates the air.
Inga would like to take, would like to tut as, like, Gob is poking around it, being like, what's going on over there? She's just gonna, like, stride over, and she's going to take the bones of this individual and try to start, like, make a ring to set a bonfire in.
With their bones? Oh my god. She's so OP.
That's
okay.
One way to do it.
So, not like they're using them anymore. Come on.
I think there's a fireplace over there. Right,
but okay. We've got one on.
So it sounds to me like everybody is kind of moving around just in this room, but kind of spreading out and trying to make yourselves comfortable. Am I right in mm-hmm. that?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to roll something real quick. Don't mind me.
Don't mind me.
What could that possibly
Who
be?
Who knows?
Also going to attack.
So, Veronica, as you kind of walk up to this northwest door, you know, and you're like listening and just kind of poking around here, as you are standing on the wooden floor of this place, you just feel like a sound. And before you can even react to it, your foot goes right through the floor and you feel yourself slipping and like falling down below as the section of the floor collapses. And you find yourself hanging here with just this open gorge below you that must be at least 100-foot drop right now with the blizzard raging. So I am going to need you to make a dexterity saving throw for me, please.
Oh. Dex. 18.
Okay, so you manage to grab hold of, like, the edges of the floor and really get that grip, and so you are swinging now wildly in the blizzard wind as just it, you are about to plummet down. So I need you to make some kind of strength check or acrobatics, something to try and pull yourself up, because you are hanging from your fingertips right now.
Guidance.
The moment that my fingers touch and I catch myself, I look over to Gob and say, nope, and we'll cast Misty Step, teleporting right behind him.
Woo! Nice.
Oh, oh, it's just like flying in, like, oh god. Hello. Oh,
yeah.
So, I'm here.
So in the middle of all of that drama, you now see that this certain section of the floor here on the western side of the room was just so rotted through at just any weight at all was enough to like cause it to plummet. So you can still definitely walk around this room and reach all of the doors, but that section of the floor is gone. So you all know this building is about as secure as it looks.
I do not want to say, because I was reading my spell, I do have to touch this item, actually.
Oh,
so if that matters, buckle up, chumps.
That does matter. So, as this all is happening, you know, maybe Minnie, you have set up now all of your implements for this spell, and you reach out to place your hand on this thing. And as you do so, you see that black core within it begins to glow with this golden radiance that looks like a beautiful candle flame. So it continues to glow as you touch it. Are you doing anything?
I guess.
Or continuing to cast your spell?
Gobble touch it.
I'm going to... She's going to touch it.
It's a nice warm glow.
Yeah, I'm going to touch it.
Okay. So as you continue to touch this thing, it glows brighter and brighter. And suddenly you find it's getting very hot. And as you are taking this in, I need everybody standing in the room to make a constitution saving throw for me, please.
Whoops.
My body.
Everyone touch me. Get resistance.
Everyone just like anything.
I got a natural 20.
Me too.
I've got a 16.
As this explosive wave of radiant fire shoots out from this thing.
9.
Oh,
you're supposed to do that.
Oh, no.
Dirty 20. Resistance to Inga.
Okay, this is gonna suck. Okay, here we go. Oh my god. 10, 18.
Oh,
that's
stop
too many
counting.
Dice. That's stop so
counting.
Many dice. Like
26.
Divided by 4.
Oh no.
Okay.
My body's not it's ready.
That warm light is very deceitful.
All right, so this is going to be 31 points of radiant damage for everybody who fails, or 15 if you saved.
That is exactly my hit point total.
Oh, no. So 31. This is radiant damage. So in case that matters in any way, but not it's going me. To be. Mm-mm. Okay. So 15 on a failed save.
Who failed?
Inga, I think, was the only one who failed, oh, okay.
Bummer. All
right. Well, now we know what happened to him.
Yeah, and you see Inga's just charred remains fall onto the floor.
Oh, no.
And all of you, though, are just burnt, like, so much. So, I mean, you survive, but, like, yes.
Inga, you smell delicious. I'm sorry.
Yeah, after that big blast, Minerva just looks down and she goes, well, there goes Jingles.
Finally, he can rest
in peace.
Put to rest.
Oh, no.
Rest.
Don't get too cozy. I just gotta get some incense.
No.
We'll be back at it.
Oh, my God.
Wait. Oh, no. Shit.
So is Inga still up?
No, Inga's down.
Oh, no.
I can spare the dying.
Oh, that's probably a good idea.
That's good. Do the thing. Yeah.
Do I have to stabilize them before I can heal them?
No, you can just heal.
Just outright heal, yeah.
Oh, okay. Alrighty then.
Then gobble rush over and just with my, you know, coat, I'll just put out whatever flames are still going. Yeah.
I will say, Inga, as you have this experience and you fall into unconsciousness, it's very strange because you fall, but and you know something happened to you, and you are looking down at yourself, laying on the floor, this charred remains, and you see all of your friends panicking. Nobody else seems to be able to see you in this space. Everything is kind of like a misty gray color all around you. But you turn your head, and you see that in one corner of the room, there is this very large head of, like, a man with this big beard and these glowing, flaming eyes. And this figure is, like, about to say something to you. And then, Xena, are you doing healing?
Yeah, I'm gonna cure wounds.
Okay. All right. How much is that total?
Plus 12.
Nice. Okay, so Inga, that ends as you find yourself in your hurting, blistered body. You come back into consciousness with Gob smacking you, I guess, with a blanket.
Gob smacked.
And I will say, Minnie, after this device exploded and released this kind of energy, it's still in your hands and it has gone dark once again. So it seems like whatever magical something it was building up, it seems to have expended. So the device appears to be safe to handle now.
Oh, cute. Thanks. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This near-death experience was lovely.
At what cost?
Does my... I guess that would probably interrupt my casting of... Yeah, okay,
for sure.
I've identified it. It's bullshit.
It's bullshit.
The magic bomb.
Good to know. Yeah.
Can I help Inga up onto all fours again?
Yeah, so what Inga will do as she's, like, you know, her tufts of fur have become singed and you get this, like, smell of sort of, like, burnt mossy hair, and she just jolts up suddenly and shoves Gob off of her.
Whoa.
She's like, there is a spirit of that is in unrest. I need to kill myself in order to talk to it. And then she's going to take her dagger and then just plunge it into her.
Wait.
She says, revive me in 5 minutes.
What? That's not how that works.
That's not how
any of this works.
5 minutes.
Sage! Inga!
I'm going in.
He's just like, girl, you've got 18 seconds.
Oh, man.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's what happens. Cool.
So what are the rest of you doing as Inga falls once again to the floor?
I just, like, looked at the rest of the party, feel like...
Just pat Xena on the back, you tried, girl. It's fine.
Minnie's just like, what?
She just said she's going to talk to some spirit in while dead. So I have to at least spare the dying and make sure that she's stable while she does this.
Good okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
All right, so you are going to spare the dice. So Inga stays in like a okay state, but is now bleeding crispy on the floor. Mm. Okay, after that, what's the game plan? You do have this object now.
Put it in my big old purse and...
If that explodes in your purse, we're going to have a problem. So just make sure you keep an eye on it.
Oh, if that explodes in my purse, we certainly will. This was a gift for my anniversary. I'll be pissed. And she's just going to, like, carry her little purse over and start, like, now that that situation in Inga's stable, she's going to try to look at that. You had mentioned a book that was kind of tattered and take a peek-see there.
Yeah, so you see that on one, the remains of like a table in this room, you see that there are, you know, very little is left of this book, except mostly ashes and a really badly burned spine, upon which you can discern the letters E-T-H-E-R. It's obvious that that was part of a much longer title, but those are the only remaining letters.
Okay. Can I make, like, an arcana check? Or, I don't know, like, if specifically, like, if it's for, like, a well-known sort of book kind of thing, because obviously she hasn't read everything, but, like, given the situation and, like, the subjects of, like, explosions and weird summoning and spirits and think in her brain for that.
Sure. Go ahead and roll it.
Ooh. That is a 10.
There are so many books written about magic and magic theory. This could also be a personal spell book. It's just hard to say what this was. So Inga, just to be clear, you are unconscious, but you are not dead. Right? You were spare the dying, so you're stable at unconscious. Okay. So I think what happens is as you come back into this place, it's the same experience as last time where you're standing above your body and you can see your body down below and you can see all your friends moving about the room. Everything is cast in that silver light and that head is just there in the corner once again, just an oversized cartoonish head of like a human person with the glowing ember eyes. And you can see this head is talking to you and like emoting and really trying to get something across to you, but you can't hear what they're saying. You can't hear anything, you realize. And this head is like waiting very impatiently for you to respond.
She is going to head over to it and she's going to take out a piece of like soft deer hide that you know she basically kind of it's basically paper, and she's gonna pull out a pen and she's gonna draw the alphabet in common on it out, and then she's gonna
I'm gonna stop you there. As you're trying to interact with like objects, you can't. And in fact, when you look down at yourself, you are very different. What would the manifestation of Inga look like in like a spirit realm? It doesn't have to be look like your physical form, or it could look exactly like your physical form, or it could be an idea, it could be a color. What do you look like when you look at yourself here?
I think she would look in her same like general shape, but instead of wearing like furs and coats and everything, she's just sort of this sort of like ombre of like rich brown tones.
Yeah, so that's what you see when you look down, and you realize that you're not quite where you were, and you're not really a ghost. It's a very weird state, but you can't seem to interact with, like, your pack or any material objects.
She's going to get, like, right up over to this head and make the motions for, like, I cannot, as she's, like, waving her hands and point to her ears, hear you at all.
Yeah, and the head, like, raises an eyebrow and kind of peers at you and, like, looks down at your corpse on the floor and, like, rolls their eyes, exasperated, and then just kind of floats around the room, and they float towards Minerva and, like, around her as she's putting this object in a bag. And it's, like, waggling its eyebrows a lot.
She'll run over to Minerva, and she'll point at the object that's going in her bag.
And the head's nodding.
And then we'll motion, like, shrug, what? Like, thumbs down? Or, like, thumbs up? Like, bad or good?
And the head just turns around, and it's just like... the head, like, flies through some of the other doors of the cabin. In particular, it'll fly through, and it just phases through the wall material. It flies, I think, right into, the room directly to the north, and then it also flies into, the room to the southeast, and then waggles its eyebrows again.
She's going to try and slip through these walls, too.
Oh, yeah, you totally can. Material means nothing to you anymore as you drift through the walls. And you see just a series of rooms that looks like maybe like a bedroom, maybe like a lab, that have, like, papers and things and materials, objects spread around. This head is clearly trying to tell you, like, look for the clues!
Yeah, then in the first room that she goes in, that the head goes in, then she's gonna go in there and she's gonna, spend time, like, trying, for as much as she can see without obviously being able to manipulate it, try and get a sense of what kind of person lived here. Is there anything, are there any papers that talk about this object in particular, or, yeah.
Yeah, so I'll say, let's jump back into the material world where this is happening. So the minutes pass by. You reach about 5 minutes, as Inga requested. Is there anything you all have been doing that's different? I mean, the blizzard is, like, growing in ferocity outside, so clearly, like, outside isn't much of an option, but it is an option.
I think Gob would have been worried about other hidden dangers. Probably looking to Xena and, like, you can keep her alive and saunter off to, I don't know. Well, I guess one by one, check out the different rooms and hello.
Ron is going to be testing the floor ever so gingerly because, you know, she fell through it a second ago.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. I'll say you can, like, go carefully and look room by room, and you are sure that that was the only place that the floor is going to collapse. That was the spot right hanging over the gorge. So you think that the rest is safe-ish, unless there's some big seismic activity. But we can definitely go clockwise, so let's start with the northwest room here. So this room, as you look into it, it's a very small room. The scent of wine fills this room very strongly. And you see that there are 4 frost-covered barrels in this room. And there's not much else. They seem to take up their, like, big wine casks.
I'm going to go over and check one out.
Yeah, let's check it out.
Yeah, so you look at it. I mean, the smell is definitely coming from these barrels, and it's a very sweet smell, very berry heavy. You can see that, like, you can remove corks and see that though it's so cold, the wine has frozen over. But, I mean, you could thaw it. Probably be pretty good.
So there's individual bottles and, like, a big cask?
Yeah, so it's just 4 big casks in here.
Oh, okay.
You saw a bunch of exploded bottles in the front room, so...
Put a pin in this, because we'll come back before we go. Mm-hmm.
We'll come back. Yeah. And then you can walk around. And let me show you all the map again, so you know what is actually going on here. So I'm taking you from the northwest, then we're going to look at this room, around and around. That's the plan.
Gotcha.
All right, so that room on the top, the north side here, this room contains a fireplace and 2 empty bookcases. Tacked to the walls and strewn across the floor are frost-covered blueprints. Face down on the floor next to one of the blueprints is a tiny man made of clay.
Whoa.
Okay. Don't touch it.
Oh.
Don't. I know you had the inkling. Don't do it.
Oh. Well, okay. I'll look at the stupid papers on the ground or whatever they are.
All right. Yeah. So you are looking at these blueprints, and are you proficient in Arcana?
No.
So this is like gibberish to you. This means nothing to you. They are very technical schematics and have lots of strange words and symbols on them.
Hold on, hold on. Let me look at that. I am proficient in Arcana, and I got a 17.
Okay. Okay, yeah. So as you're looking around this room, with a 17 kind of scanning, you can instantly tell that that little figure made of clay on the ground is a homunculus. A dead homunculus, it appears now. So maybe this homunculus was attached to the person who died in the other room. You can also tell just kind of looking at these papers here that they show different experimental designs for like some kind of weather controlling machine or device. And you see that one of them in particular, it looks a lot like the, you know, a gyroscope, like the thing you saw in the other room that Minnie was looking at.
Hmm. I relay all this to Gob.
Homunculus?
We're stuck on homunculus.
Don't think about it too hard. It's fine.
Oh, yeah, weather. Magic.
Basically, yeah.
Got it.
Are there any holes in the ceiling or walls in this room?
Not in this room. This one is mostly intact, though you do see the windows. One of the windows is broken. One of them is still hanging on.
Gob, dear, go and, I guess, retrieve everyone else. I'm going to try to make a fire. And Veronica will summon a great axe and start hacking up the bookshelves for tinder.
Okay.
Nice. Yeah.
Never even got to make my bonfire with my great bonfire spell.
Oh, no.
Well, someone chose to die instead. I don't just know. Like,
seppuku. Just.
I don't know what's going on here. Okay. So, all right. So you start to do that. And I mean, this is a small cabin, so everybody can probably hear this conversation. Like, and
don't mind the noise. It's fine.
Yeah. Xena, are you just sitting by Inga's side?
Well, I was wondering, I kind of want to try to mind link with Inga so like I can communicate and figure out what they're talking to. But the language of the ability says that to use the ability, the creature must be able to see me. And since she can kind of see me, but not fully, like in that silver, whatever. Apparition form realm that I'm in. It's up to you. I'm letting that up to you.
I would say this probably isn't going to work on a creature that's unconscious. I think you need like a conscious mind to grasp onto.
Okay. Then, yeah, I'm just going to stay put next to Inga in case anything happens.
And Minerva, what are you doing while all this is happening?
Yeah. So Minnie is dealt with a lot in a very short amount of time. So she's just going to park it next to Xena and just start like rummaging through her purse. And while like Xena is like looking over concerned, Minnie is just like, honey, would you like a cashew? And just like start snacking and be like, traumatic experiences. You really need to eat, honey.
Eat something.
And it's like a look of like, I'm not asking. Like,
right, like eat the cashew.
Very cool. All right. So you are building a fire in this room. Are you continuing to look in the other rooms?
I think Gob would continue on if you're smashing some stuff up. I'll be right back.
Don't touch anything.
Yeah, oh.
I mean it.
I just grumble as I leave. Yeah.
Yeah. So you head to the northeast room here, and you see a stiff wind blows through the broken window in the east wall, causing the tattered gray curtains to billow and flap like angry ghosts. Snow covers a bed and much of the surrounding floor. It looks like this room hasn't seen any use because like the holes here are so bad. So it just looks like a abandoned room. And you can continue on to the room to the south. You see wooden planks have been nailed over the broken window of this room to hold out the wind. Furnishings include a saggy double bed and a bookcase containing some folded clothes, a few blank sheets of parchment, and a set of calligrapher's supplies. Next to the bookcase is a soot-stained hearth, wherein a scroll lies amid the ashes.
Ooh. Take a little look. Maybe, you know, push on the bed a little bit as I walk in.
It's pretty lumpy.
Oh, yeah. and then, I guess, yeah, once I lock eyes with the whatever it is in the hearth, I'm like, ooh.
Yeah, it seems to be a folded piece of paper. Sure. Okay, so I am going to show you something, but then I'm going to read it because I couldn't read this handout to save my life.
I appreciate
it. So here we go. But here we go, just so everybody knows, there was a cool handout. So it looks like a letter that you see in the fireplace laying there.
Oh, that's
in this letter. Yeah, it's hard. It's common, I promise. But the letter reads, Macridius, I've had enough of this damned relentless cold. I feel it creep into my bones, my head, my heart. I'm heading back to Ten Towns for a decent meal and a warm bed. I fear this endless winter has numbed your mind, and any tinkerer worth their chains can see the summer star is a fool's errand. Maybe without me here to incessantly complain to you, you'll finally snap out of your obsession. If you truly insist on dedicating your remaining days to this doomed project, might I suggest that 3 is better than 2? I considered telling you before, but you were particularly rude about the dinner I made last night. May the light of the morning lord protect you. Signed, Copper.
Some spice.
Right, how dare you? Ooh, that dinner was delightful. I slaved in front of a hot magical item.
In front of a hot stove.
I'm really identifying with Copper.
Right.
Yeah. Whoever this Copper is, I get it.
I feel you.
We'll just say that I read that out loud. It's a letter I found. Maybe there's some magic. Sounds like magic.
Sounds like.
And I'll say at this point, it has officially been 5 minutes, Xena. So if there's something Inga did say to revive at 5 minutes, so are you doing anything, Nassim, Xena?
No, I'm just waiting to see if Inga reacts in any kind of violent way or seems to be struggling in any way that I could then revive them. But there's really nothing. Oh, wait, did Inga say, wake me up in 5 minutes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
None of us have watches.
Yeah. She was dying. Wake me up inside, save me. Yeah.
Okay. Then you know what? We'll do that.
Nothing. fuck.
Okay. And we'll do a prayer of healing this time to really bring you back.
Yeah, wake me up inside. Yeah. Thank you, Chad. You all got me.
That resonated.
Can't wake right. up.
Save me. Like, yeah.
Does a prayer of healing get everybody?
It actually does. Yeah. It's up to 6 creatures, so it's plus 13 hit points.
Ooh. Oh, cute.
Oh, hell yeah.
Thank you, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Okay, so Inga, your conversation is interrupted once again as you return to this world. And you get the sense that it's very jarring because it feels like you weren't there for very long, but now you're back and it's all very strange. Also dying and waking up and going unconscious a bunch rocks your brain a little bit.
Yeah, sure. She's definitely looking a little disoriented again as she, like, sits up very kind of woozily and looks around and is, you know, thinking, like, all right, are we back in our actual bodies? And she, like, kind of pats herself. It's like,
it
all right.
Feels like it.
I'm corporeal again. And she says, there is a very strange spirit here. It looks like large head. Big, big human head, like 4 feet tall. And Minnie, that thing that is in your bag, I think it's not good.
You can say that again. Blew my ass right up.
As we're all, like, still kind of singed, like.
Oh, I mean, aside from the actual effect of exploding on all of us, I think the spirit was trying to tell me that it unlocks something, or perhaps has greater evil stored inside. And she's gonna run into the room that she was standing in before when she was in her spirit form, and she's gonna start looking around it.
Yeah, so this is the room that you see that was the papers of this device. So looking at it, like, so clearly there are blueprints for some kind of magical device meant to control the weather.
Does it have, like, any picture of the...
There is a blueprint that is very similar to the device that Minnie now has in her purse.
She'll head into the to the south room, because that was where the head had also, like, soared into.
Yeah, so you run into the south room, and you see, I mean, this is the room that Gob, like, ran around with and got that letter. So you feel like the spirit was trying to show you the letter that was in the fireplace and trying to show you the blueprints.
I hold up the letter. You looking for this?
Yes.
Here you go. This guy is spicy.
What the ever-loving fuck?
The hell is this?
And who has the highest passive perception in this party? Just out of curiosity.
Not
I have a 15.
15 is pretty good.
Got a 10, so not me.
Okay.
I have a 12. Then
I think a 12. Yeah. 12.
10.
So, Inga, I think as you're, like, running from place to place, you know, and you kind of, like, pop back into the main room, you can see that there is something happening against, like, some of the window panes that are still just hanging in their frames where this frost has built up, and you see a line getting etched as if somebody is, like, moving with a finger very slowly, and they're carving out words in the snow. It says, "Save me."
I saw this movie. I'm gonna go.
Into the blizzard?
She is going to drop the letter, drop everything, and immediately run over to that wall, and she'll write in the snow how.
Okay. And there's, like, a pause where you're waiting, and fix it appears.
And then she'll go over to Minnie and she'll say, "I think if we fix this thing that is in your bag, this weather-controlling device, we could also save the spirit that is trapped inside of this house and help it get at rest." Give me those schematics.
Sounds like fun to me. Don't have Bunko Night out here, may as well.
I do love Bunko.
Inga, Veronica will stick her head out of the room. Inga, darling, there's a dead homunculi in here, just so you know.
While we're putting all these weird pieces together.
Weird.
Gonna look at that too.
Also, I'm done chopping up wood, so if you want to start a fire in this fireplace, we can, you know, keep warm. Because not dying sounds like a good idea.
Yeah, it's pretty cold. Mm-hmm. With so many holes in the cabin, it might be nice to hole up in a room and feel some warm fire.
A finger crossbow at the hearth and cast create bonfire.
Ooh. Whoa. Nice.
Ooh, spicy.
Yeah, so you all can have a super nice bonfire as you kind of pour over these schematics here. So what is the plan as a group, gang? What are we trying to do?
I think Gob would make his way into the wine room, chip off some big shards of wine, put it in whatever, like a little tea kettle to warm it up near the hearth. And
oh, nice. Yeah, so now the
brain
place,
juices flow.
Yes, it smells like, you know, fire, campfire, and then also, you know, some nice sweet wine. Welcome, Raiders. Hey, welcome to our creepy time in the Black Cabin. We're getting some clues and figuring things out, so welcome. So yeah, you can all spread out on the floor of this place here. You do have a bunch of these schematics. You have this letter. You have this strange message from the spirit. You have some nice wine going on the fire. It's, you know,
wine on the fire.
Pretty nice. Mm.
Minnie is living her best wine mom life. Okay.
Living your truth.
Yeah, let's try to pour over these schematics, I guess, and put the device kind of in the center and kind of, I guess, like, look into it and try to see maybe, like, where he went wrong or something.
Sure. So if someone would like to make me an intelligence-based insight check to try and figure out what's going on with these the schematics and what's happening here to maybe figure out how to analyze this problem.
I cast guidance on Minnie.
Oh, okay. I'm doing it.
All right, Minnie. Grandma.
Oh, you know what? Actually,
is double guidance a thing?
No, unfortunately not.
I actually had a dream that I thought really hard about this, and I did all right. Yeah. So I'm going to add 3 Portent. To my 16 that I have reported, so a 19.
Ooh, okay.
Solid. Damn. All right. So you spend time looking over all of these different devices, you know, ending with this final one that he decided to go with, which was this gyroscope kind of look around the center cluster of something that must be, it looks like some kind of astral metal of some kind, maybe star metal, something really powerful that he's built this around. But as you're looking at kind of this two-ring structure, you are thinking, like, that would not be enough to contain the amount of power. If he's trying to do something big, like control weather or, like, big magic, this device is in no way going to be able to contain the magic, which is probably why it exploded the way it did. So if you were thinking, you know, if you were to do this, you would add a third ring onto this. You can see that, like, the rings around it all have, like, these inscriptions, these protective runes that would allow it to channel the magic to do what you want. So that would be your guess. You need to make a third ring, and you need to inscribe it with protective runes, and that would make the device be able to function.
Okay. And you said it's made out of, like, special star metal?
So the chunk in the center is, but the iron rings around the outside are just iron, inscribed with runes.
So Minnie will, like, just kind of, like, stare through everything, like, sipping on her wine, like, throw them back, and eventually...
Okay, it's good bet.
She's like, why didn't he add a third ring, dummy?
Is that really all it took?
Looking, like, that would have fixed everything. Like, the design flaw is so clear to you.
So obvious.
Three is the magic number. Literally, for magic, you need three of anything.
Magic interior design, it's always three.
It's always three.
Hey, those wine barrels, did they have a metal ring around the outside?
Oh.
They should. Realistically.
Oh, yeah, they did for cast.
Oh, yeah, yeah, this ball. And,
I know my wine barrels.
Run off.
Look at the ingenuity.
Check out the big brain on Brett.
I'll go bust up one of the wine casks. Okay. And
unfortunately, that means the wine will be destroyed. So do you want to take it all, like, putting it in a sack? I mean, it's all ice form right now. You know, put it in the kettle.
Probably
you have to drink
off
it all.
A good, good portion for later.
Okay.
But, yeah. Ice wine.
Wine sorbets.
Right.
Ooh.
Ooh. Fancy.
Wine slushy.
Well, that's more and less fancy, but yeah, sorbet.
It's Icewind Dale. It's all fancy.
Yeah.
Sorbet the Slurpee.
Yeah, I'll take the closest fit of a ring if Minnie gave me a, you know, whatever gauge, dinner plate, I don't know.
So it definitely looks like you'll probably have to do some reshaping of this thing since it is significantly larger than the ring itself. Does anybody have proficiency with tinker's tools or smithing tools by any chance?
I have a hammer.
That's the perfect response.
Sometimes the best way you can get a job is coming prepared. So you're doing great. We
still
do
better than the rest of us at this point. Like,
we do have tinker's tools from that pack we got at the other place, but I don't have proficiency.
Mm-mm.
Okay. You can, using Tinker's tools and a hammer, I will let you try and do this. It's... Yeah. So, Gob, are you gonna try and smack this thing into shape to be about sure. the right size as the rest of the rings?
Yeah.
Can I try to, like, help him by, like, giving no, him size instructions?
My mom showed me how. It's fine, Eka.
No, this is fine. Okay, then why don't we go ahead and let's do a... I guess let's call it a sleight of hand as you're trying to wield this thing into shape. So Minerva's helping you.
Guidance.
Can I do athletics?
Oh, guidance. Thank you.
No, I think this isn't sleight athletics. Okay. This is more subtle work.
Come from a long line of dwarves. Oh, hey, 16 plus 2, 18.
Oh, okay.
Not bad.
Yeah. So to everyone's shock and awe, you manage to actually get this ring. Maybe you toss it in the fire a little bit so it gets a little, you know, heated. And then you manage to bang this thing down to a smaller size until it's not pretty, but it is the same shape and size as the rest of the rings on this thing. So you've
quench
done
it
that.
In wine.
Yeah. Forged in wine.
The wine helps.
So now you have a blank ring of about the same size as the others.
Okay. And then we've got to do the magical inscription too.
Mm-hmm.
Did I get from my roll, like, what I'm supposed to put on there? Like, is it supposed to match the rest of the rings, or is it something...
Yeah, so it looks like each of the rings has an identical set of runes, so you think you have to just copy the other runes.
Okay. I mean, are they hammered into it, right? Like, etched in?
He has taken the time to etch in, but you think you could probably get away with writing them. So I'll let you, if you would like to do an arcana check, to see if you can perfectly match and mimic these.
Okay.
Guidance.
Guidance.
I'm just touching you all the time.
Xena just comes up like, guidance.
I bless you.
Weirdly sister. Comforting, dear. Right. I'm actually going to use my lucky, though, because that was bullshit.
Oh my god, you remembered! Yeah!
Yeah, you remembered! You have the lucky feet!
Well, I literally was good like, job. Oh no, and I went and I looked over at my notes to be like, oh shit, and it said lucky in capital letters, so that,
yes.
With guidance, is going to be a dirty 20.
Ooh. Okay, so with that, you feel very confident as you draw the runes onto this device. And between all of you, working on this thing, you manage to get that third ring in there. And as you do so, I think, Minnie, you would feel just kind of that spark of magic with this device, and you see a very subtle glow that is happening with this kind of starlit metal in the center here. So you think that the device, maybe it's fixed. Maybe you can even use it.
Maybe we should all stand back a little bit after last time.
Veronica will take out her shield and hold in front of her. Nope, already got you. It's fine.
Okay.
Can anybody start it, or should...
Inga will step into the bedroom with the... where the scroll was in the heart.
If you don't hear me say Eureka in a moment here, come bring me back to life, please. I'm not ready yet.
Everybody leave. Go.
Go.
Run. Fly, you fools.
And then I guess I'm going to try to use the device once everybody's clear.
Okay. So as you set this device down, and you can see it now, it begins to glow in intensity as, you are attempting to activate it. And suddenly you feel this wave of magic come from this thing. And it's incredible what this device was able to do as you feel it moves out and shapes and changes the very environment around you. So this device is allowing you to cast Control Weather, which is a very high level spell. So you can go ahead and pick, I believe, what kind of weather you would like. Let me just...
Tornado.
Blizzard. Like, make the blizzard harder.
Blizzard.
More blizzard.
Extreme
double
blizzard.
Double blizzard.
This is an 8th level spell.
Oh,
so, yeah. Jesus. So this was no joke. So you take control of the weather within 5 miles of you for the duration. You let's see. When you cast the spell, you change the current weather conditions, which are determined by the DM based on the climate and season. You can change precipitation, temperature, and wind. It takes 1d4 times 10 minutes for the new conditions to take effect. Yeah, so basically you can, let's see, it's Arctic cold, so you can reduce that to cold, cool, or warm. You can take the wind from storm to gale to strong wind to moderate wind. It's not raining, but yeah, you could basically make it a beautiful warm day if you wanted to.
Gonna need you to do that.
No.
I need that sunlight in my life.
Give those old bones a rest.
Right. Yeah. She's gonna make it cold because she doesn't want to destroy the climate, like the environment and everything. Also, not call too much attention over to their area because this place sucks. And so she's gonna keep it cold, but just like make that storm simmer the fuck down and eventually dissipate.
Yeah. Solid.
Yeah. Whoa. I mean, as you do, you know, you feel this magic like explode out from this device. And it's amazing because you've never cast a spell that high in level. And the fact that this device allowed you to do that is incredible. And you all almost instantly hear that roaring wind, which has become the background of your environment, just ceases as it stops. And you hear just blissful silence from outside. Snow stops pouring in through the holes and walls of this place, and you even detect some gray light that is coming in now through the windows as just this miraculous thing has happened. And Minerva, you see that the device, that piece of star metal in the center, crumbles into dust as the spell, you know, was expended and the device was used as it was intended. So it becomes no longer magical. But you swear that you hear a voice saying, "Thank you," as you expel its magic. You all have solved the mystery of the Black Cabin.
Congratulations. You just hear from the main room, you just hear, "Eureka, motherfuckers! We did it!"
Side quest complete!
She didn't die, it's great!
Inga!
Inga's gonna saunter out into the main room and be like, "I told you, I am spirit talker! Always trust what they say about the spirits."
"I'll never doubt you again, sweetheart."
I might, but you know.
But that's just standard.
And then she's going to tap herself with a cure wound because she hurts.
Oh, sweet baby.
Nice. Well, it seems like for the moment you are being left alone, which is great. So I'm gonna get a new beer and I'll be right back while you all decide what you want to do with your free time.
How about that? A short rest so that I don't know, we can get our health back.
Short rest is
also
good.
How long does control weather last? Because I have a feeling this won't be nice forever. It says concentration up to 8 hours.
Nice.
So
got that ghost doing it for you?
I was going to say 8 hours still, yeah. You just don't have to concentrate on it since the item did it.
Yeah, but I do think that we should probably just take a short rest and keep moving because we don't know how long this will last. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we need to get back on track. So,
mm-hmm. Absolutely,
but we're definitely going to take a hot second and package up this wine to go because I got a habit to maintain.
Gob was just licking on a big shard of
rye. Like a just salt lick.
Cow with the salt lick.
Don't look at me.
And now it's a stylish bracelet.
Minerva has now started the bangles trend from the mid-90s.
Oh no. Oh no.
It's the gun again.
She's going to sell it on her Etsy. It's fine.
Oh, my God.
Wine bangle, yeah.
This is an artifact of our adventures together. I'm going to keep it.
Well, maybe we can figure out how to make another one and get more Star Rock.
Ooh.
Yeah, you know, if that book on the table taught this guy Macredius how to do this, I mean, this device could literally save
in the bank.
All of Icewind Dale. I mean, the book is just a crumbled, like, remain of binding. It's dead, but whatever that book was, if you could figure it out, boy, that'd be great.
I'm going to put the remains of the binding in my purse just in case we come across a fellow book nerd who knows better than I do.
Either.
But yeah, we'll keep this as a bracelet for now. And then if we can find more, that'll be great. And if we can't find more, it'll go in a shadow box because I'm old.
Because I'm
just
old.
My memory box.
That's the way of things.
That's how it goes.
I love shadow box.
I do too. I have like
so
eight.
Cute.
Oh no.
Dun, duh! Wow, you made it to Midroll! I'm so glad you're here and not frozen or exploded or, well, you get the gist. Are you enjoying this campaign? If so, you probably will also enjoy another of our side adventures, the Rising Hunger stream Sage runs every Friday. The Rising Hunger is a horror campaign based on Kobold Press's adventure Empire of the Ghouls. And it features a stunning cast, including Jen Vaughn, Matt Kentaro, Willia Beale, and Rihanna Elliott. If this sounds like your cup of ghoulish tea, you can catch the backlog on our Venture Maidens YouTube channel, or get those sweet, shiny podcast versions by donating just $1 a month to our Patreon. Okay, I've given you the scary, so now let's do the sweet and talk about our sponsor, Forge and Flame. Forge and Flame is a geeky bakery slash glassblowing studio that sells amazing rum cakes as part of their Dwarven Rations line. You can head over to their website, docglass.com/dwarvenrations, to order these delightful cakes, which come packaged in super cute individual boxes with a random TTRPG die inside. Even better, if you want to order a whole bunch of cakes to help promote your business, they have a super low-cost custom advertising cake kit available to help you create one-of-a-kind merch. So check out Dwarven Rations and treat yourself to an artisanal rum cake. Though you'll probably want to get a few because there are so many delicious flavors to choose from. Swizzle rum punch, coconut, rum and ginger, lemon, chocolate. Oh, wow. So go right now to docglass.com/dwarvenrations and let them eat cake. All right, my friends, that's all I've got for you. So let's dive back into the adventure. So with that, what's the plan? It seems all of a sudden this blizzard has stopped. So, I mean, if you want to be headed on your way, nothing's stopping
you. Oh, we definitely are, as we get our wine popsicles to go.
We're going to take a short rest though.
Short rest, yeah.
Okay.
And then
lick on some wine popsicles.
Yeah, because it only lasts for 8 hours. Yeah. So we got to go.
God's been pretty good, so I think he'd play fetch with... Balto Thunder out front as the weather clears.
Oh, Balto Thunder. Before you all get too excited about your short rest, as you were playing outside with Balto Thunder, Gob, I imagine it's great, you know, wow, like the sky, you know, it's still covered in that aurora borealis of that spell that Aurel has cast over the land, but you can almost see patches of that, which the sun is just threatening to burst through as the spell gets more and more intense as time goes on. And it's becoming like a beautiful, crisp winter day. And it's so exciting. And, you know, you're playing and that you can feel yourself thawing out. And you see something strange approaching from the distance. First off, it looks like just like a flash of like silver. So you think maybe like a weapon or a piece of metal or something. But as it gets closer, you see, yeah, this glowing ball of light, silvery white light. And you can make out it's in the face of a figure that is moving towards the cabin, almost shambling towards you all.
Hey, everybody.
Yes.
Yeti.
Okay. We're all just like, what? Is, what?
There's a thing coming. And I rush back into the cabin and try to explain best I can. It's a silver. It's like it's inside a thing. Yeah. Oh.
Slow down. Calm down. What's going on?
I was playing with the dog. Oh. but yeah, I relate what I saw, or at least what about, you know, close enough.
Off of Gob's truly impeccable description, could I make a nature check to see if I can get any sense of idea of what he's talking about?
Yes, you certainly can.
An 18.
Okay, 18. You're like light in the face. You know, that sounds like a cold light walker, which is a particular undead horror that is common to Icewind Dale. I think your people, Inga, have run into these before. These are beings that they die in the extreme cold, and then Arl claims their souls, reawakening them as these undead monsters that seek to enact her will and to freeze others to death the way they were frozen. So it seems like whatever you've done, this magic has probably attracted, if not Oral's wrath, at least the wrath of one of these creatures. You know, they are very dangerous.
Yeah, yeah. Very bad situation. The Icewalkers are nothing to be trifled with. We need to leave right now.
Will we be able to outpace it?
I think so, yes. We make
if you run now. Fast, though these things don't have to stop because they're undead. So they will hunt you and hunt you and hunt
you. We might as well just take it out. Otherwise, we won't have a moment's rest from its wrath.
Yep.
Ooh, well, help me up, someone, whatever we do. These bones are aching.
All right. So you all get up and leave the cabin, or are you staying inside the cabin?
How far off was it coming close to us?
You know, maybe a couple hundred feet.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I don't want to get trapped in here with it. Let's go tussle in the snow.
Huh? Well, how about you and I go outside, Gob, and leave the, you know, spellcasters in a safe haven? Just knock out a window and shoot from here.
The wizard zaps out the window. That's good. Yeah.
Yes, that's definitely how it works.
So, Veronica and Gob, you step outside?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And as you do, you can see nothing. There is a thick fog that has been called around the door of this place. You're not sure where it ends, but everything is heavily obscured immediately as you open up the doors here. So none of you can see what's going on. Let's roll some initiative.
Cool.
I want to be outside with them and touch Gob and give a vigilant blessing so that they have advantage on initiative.
Whoa!
Get it. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Xena for president.
Yeah, truly.
That's very good because my initiative was not good. Gob got a 15.
Am I able to cast the preemptive spell that I was going to cast her?
Sure, okay. I think you would have had some time.
Okay, then I'm going to cast Enlarge on Veronica.
Mm.
Oh, damn! Whoa.
Yeah!
Giant woman!
Yeah.
So
I basically turn into like Venus and Serena Williams' third sister.
Oh my god, yes!
You get an extra d4 on your attacks. Damage. Extra d4 damage.
Xena, what did you get on initiative?
A dirty 20.
Okay, and then Veronica.
17.
Okay, and then Minerva?
12.
Oh boy. And Inga?
15.
Okay, hang on. I have a few things to roll. Just a second.
Gosh dang. I really didn't want to go first.
You are going to go first.
I know.
Unless my baddies do. You can always hold your turn.
Can you just say baddies, plural?
What, Katie? I don't understand. Okay.
Help.
I didn't say anything.
Oh, I know what Xena's going to do, and I'm excited.
Do you?
I think I might have an idea, and if you do, I'm going to be like...
Well, now I feel like I'm going to disappoint you.
Never disappoint us, Nassim.
Okay, Nassim, it is your turn, though, as this happens. So you all open up the door and you see heavily obscured wall of fog completely surrounding the cabin. which means you cannot see any of the enemies, which means all attacks are made with disadvantage.
I guess I'll just do about, what is the range of this? Let's do 20 feet in front of where we're standing at the cabin. I'll cast Moonbeam.
Okay.
And hope someone runs through it.
All right. So you go ahead and you conjure a moonbeam that you can feel, but you cannot see. But you inherently know where it is. So it is out there.
Yeah. And I'm going to say to everyone, avoid moving any further 20 feet ahead. Go to your left or to your right. There is a beam of moonlight ahead of you.
Good to know. Thanks.
Okay.
Yeah. And right as you say that, you hear like little coming from like this fog cloud and the sound of like tinkling glass from all around you as shapes are clearly moving in the fog here. And everybody's standing outside. So Xena, Gob, and Veronica, I'm going to need you to make a dexterity saving throw.
Nice. It's a natural 20, 22.
Okay.
12.
Well, I rolled 4.
Okay. All right. Full damage is going to be 4 points. If you got above a 10, you only take 2 points of frost damage as this, like, wave of cold consumes you all, and you just see small shapes dancing and chittering in the clouds, but you can barely make out where they are.
What if you're resistant to cold?
Then that will be halved, so you will take 2 points of damage.
Cool.
But I need you to make those dexterity saves once again, please.
For again. My goodness.
15.
Not as good. 10.
Rolled a 3.
Okay, all right, so 7 total if you didn't get above a 10. Otherwise, you take 7 cold damage as another blast comes from the side here. And let's see, I think you are very large, Veronica, so I think this third little being, Gob, you just noticed that something like the color of ice, like a tiny figure, kind of swipes at you from the side before retreating once again into this fog, so you can't really see it. So it only got a 4. So you feel like the scratch of like icy nails rake against your armor as this thing retreats back into the darkness. And Veronica, we come to you.
I will ready an attack the moment I see one. Or if one gets close to me.
Okay. So, like, within 5 feet of you? Okay. All right. And then we're going to move to Gob.
So I can generally make out the area where the icy chittering things...
It's heavily obscured, so it doesn't make any difference. Any attack you make is going to be at disadvantage.
But at least I know where, you know. Did they seem like they're human shaped?
Small. They were small creatures. You can tell.
Then I will left, right, left, and I'm coming for you. You're a little cold, and I'm just gonna run out with my arms held wide, make as big an area up as I can. Yeah, and yeah, I'll try to take
roll out with disadvantage.
Okay, that is a 9.
Okay, so you are, yeah, you're swiping at the, because you're like, ha-ha, and you, like, find you've grabbed a bunch of snow that was kind of piled up and looked like a figure, and you're like, rats! And just all around you is this fog.
Oh, no, I'm lost.
Oh, God. Where's that moonbeam?
No.
anything else for you, Gob?
Can I let out a yell of frustration?
Yeah, that's a free action for sure.
No!
So you do that. And then Inga, we come to you.
Oh boy. So Inga is going to step out of the house into the snow just right in front of the door. And she is going to raise her fist and call out to the sky. And she'll say, "The spirits of this place, come and defeat this creature." And you see as she like calls out in this almost like this audible kind of sonic blast that shoots out for her as she casts Summon Beast.
Oh,
okay.
Well, some of that
oh, some Xanathar shit. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. And so suddenly
sorry, Tasha shit. Oops.
Tasha shit. And suddenly this spirit form of a crag cat, so this like large white cat that looks even more ethereal, becomes bounding out of the snow and will go and will it'll take the dodge action, so attacks against it will have disadvantage, but it's gonna like pounce in front of her and look very defensive and guarding. And then she is going to kick up a bit of snow behind her as you see suddenly her form shifts into this what appears, it looks like a splash of nebula, contrasted by the bright white light of stars, as she uses one of her wild shape to become her starry form, and she as though she's the constellation of like a cosmic archer. And she's going to send out a white beam of light against some of these creatures.
Well, hey there, Night Sky. How you doing?
Damn.
Stay in the house, they Damn. Said. Right.
So you can shift as a bonus action?
Mm-hmm.
Fuck, that's
wild
cool.
Shaping. All right. Yes.
Circles of the stars is so cool.
Yeah.
Circle it, queen. Yeah. Circle it.
Our attack will be at disadvantage, unfortunately.
Yes.
But that is a 10.
10 is not going to do it. So just that silvery light disappears into this thick fog.
She does cast off 10 feet of light around her, if that does help at all, but so she
fortunately
does,
not yeah. for obscurity, but you're very bright. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then Minerva, we come to you.
Minerva, back inside the building, is just kind of gonna like peek out, like open and peek out the window and kind of try to see where those like dancing little forms are in it, and going not in the direction of where she's hearing the voices of her friends, is gonna just try casting a burning hands out into it and just like rub her little mittens together, and just like eventually enough friction, just like poof, a huge explosion just bursts out in front of her, and she's like, oh my.
Oh,
so that's a 15 foot cone.
Okay, and that's dexterity saving throws. Yes. Yeah. All right, that is 3 failures, I'm assuming. So go for it. What's that damage?
12 points of fire damage.
Ooh.
Oh.
Burn, baby, burn.
Yes.
Mini Inferno.
Wizard Zap.
That's my new song.
You hear a chorus of shrieks, unearthly shrieks, inhuman shrieks coming from this fog cloud, as you are burning away at whatever creatures are dancing around inside the flames. They certainly did not seem to like that at all.
She's just gonna go and stay out and close the window.
Slams the door. Get off my lawn!
Yeah, okay. Great. And then that is going to bring me down. So Gob is the only one who's kind of run forward at this point. Just clarifying that for everyone. And Gob, as you're turning around, just trying to get your bearings, you see this flash of light once again, that light that you saw before, that kind of penetrates through this mist, and you can just make out the outline of this hood, this like large furred hood, except it's got holes and is ratted and frozen in places, and instead of where a face would be, it's just this white light, as this creature reaches out a gloved hand and tries to attack you. So here we go. Will a 15 hit you?
It will not.
Then will a 21 hit you?
Yeah.
So as this thing reaches out, like one grasping hand, it swings almost lazily in that way that the undead do, as if they're not really sure what's happening. But as this hand moves and is distracting you, you feel a cold hand latch around your throat and just start to compress and compress. So that you are going to take 5 bludgeoning damage, and you begin to feel cold creeping in from these hands as they're digging into your skin. So you're going to take 17 cold damage in addition, as this thing seems to be sapping all of the warmth out of your body.
Oh, that's cold.
Sweet Lord.
Yes.
Am I grappled or anything like that?
No, I think that was just for flavor. You can still move. It's just trying to, like, just feed on your life force. And Xena, we come back up to you.
Thank goodness. I'm sitting here, like, dying inside that I didn't do this first.
Oh, no!
Okay, I'm gonna channel my divinity.
Yes!
And turn the undead. Yeah, I know. So we'll step forward, like, 10 feet, and then she starts to glow again in this, like, light, silvery light. Her eyes flash, and then the white tree emblem on her chest plate starts to glow and, like, resonate. And so it has to be with any creature within range that I can see or that they can hear me. It has to make a wisdom saving throw, or they're turned for a minute and they have to basically leave. They have to walk away. They try to get away from us as fast as possible until they take damage or the thing ends. So I say, undead of winter, return to where you came from.
Cool. All right. What's my number to beat?
12. Wisdom.
Oh, damn. I got an 11.
Ooh! Yes! Chef's kiss.
So you all hear, especially you, Gob, like a comes from this thing as, like, it turns, it's just lit face away from you and, like, towards the sound of Xena's voice. And you see it, like, it kind of hunches back and, like, seems to just recoil from the sound, and it drops you and starts to trudge off into the snows. If you would like to make an attack of opportunity, you can.
Yeah, sure. Oh, yeah. Oh, natural 20.
Oh, boy.
That one. It's a big mistake. I come up with an uppercut and do 8 points of bludgeoning damage.
It doesn't seem to notice at all as you deal this damage. You kind of punch, like, into its side, you know, expecting to get that great kidney shot. And you feel that there is nothing inside of that clothing. It's just that maybe this light just fills this being. And that happens as, once again, this thing just fades from your vision. And you look down at the snow, you can see it doesn't even leave any tracks as it just steps out. And with that, you hear some cries, like, happening from around you in the clouds. And you see the fog suddenly dissipates. And these 3 creatures who appear to be, like, these little almost like goblins that are made out of ice that were, like, now all dancing around outside of your range. And they look at all of you and they watch, like, this cold light walker heading back out into the tundra. And they look at you and key! And then they burst into these shards of ice.
Silly ice method.
Mm-hmm. So for now, you seem to have ended this encounter. Though you know you don't have much time, knowing channel divinity.
Yeah.
If you want to get a move on.
Everybody run. Let's go.
Oh, that was cold.
Let's move.
Yes.
Gob, you have frostburn on your skin where that thing touched you.
Yeah. I'm just going to rub it. Yeah. Do some quick, deep breathing and do a second wind on myself just to get some of them HPs back.
Yeah. All right, so you are healing and you all are running.
Yeah.
I'm assuming. Yep.
I will run over and grab Gob since I'm still enlarged, throw him on my back, and just keep walking.
Oh, like,
you're coming with me.
All I want to do is call see Balto. You turn into
Balto, come.
Yeah. Woof. Balto Thunder runs forward. And you very quickly, as you are running, you realize that you got pretty far off of the road. You think you probably missed the point when you would have turned to Caer Dinnaval. So right now you are just cutting a straight line to East Haven, basically just across the tundra at this point. But you are hustling as fast as you can, you know, checking behind you every once in a while to see if this thing is following you. And for now, you seem to have escaped its notice, but who knows how long that will last. As you're running, it's perfect weather now. The snow has softened up. It's not that hard packed ice everywhere you're stepping because your control weather spell has still, you know, really changed the area around you. It's remarkable how fast things have shifted just with a little bit of heat brought into this frigid environment. So you all are running. As you're continuing to run, maybe make me a constitution saving throw since you're booking it for your lives and you're still a couple hours out of East Haven.
Oh, you probably shrinky-dink back to size.
Yeah. I'll throw you back on Balto. Be like, I just want to make sure that you're okay.
Go faster. Oh, okay. Yeah. Thank you.
I got a 12.
Are we all rolling one?
Same.
Yep. Because you all are running. It's a long way to
run.
I'm
going to give resistance to Gob because he's kind of hurting.
Give it to Balto. He needs it more than
I'm going to cast guidance on myself. Get a 16.
My constitution.
I got a 13.
11.
Ooh, Veronica, I think after like an hour hard pace, you're going to take a level of exhaustion. It's just too much keeping up. So that's like the first hour. The second hour, are you all still trying to run or?
Have you seen any sign of it?
So far, no.
Maybe.
I think we lost the coat.
I need to.
Oh.
Take a break.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a lot of armor and weapons to carry.
Running through snow.
Yeah, it's literally horrible. The worst.
I think after an hour, you finally find the road again, but you were like just traipsing across like open country before.
Oof.
Thank God I took that jazzercise class.
Water aerobics.
All right. So are we all going to a normal pace for the last hour?
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's like any like cover or anything, but I think no. All right. Yeah, we're just walking then.
Sure. Just tundra landscape all around you. A couple scraggly trees every once in a while. It's pretty bad, especially now that you're on the road. There's no cover. So you continue to walk, you know, setting a pretty good pace. And at this point, night is starting to fall. So it's still, you know, balmy compared to what you've been used to. But the intensity of the greens and lavenders, you know, up in the sky above grow. Every once in a while now, you can see stars that are poking through this thin veil now with this control weather spell. So it's not so dark as it usually is. Starlight falls down upon you, which I think Inga feels particularly nice, because it's hard to see the stars anymore with Arl's spell in the sky.
She doesn't remember the last time that she's seen them, so it...
We literally just did, in Inga's body. We saw all the stars.
Oh, yeah.
I must embody them so that they can return to the sky once this horrible magic is lifted.
Yeah, so I think it's a refueling experience. You know, really feeling starlight for the first time in so long. And this, you know, this energy, this nice change follows you all the way until you reach the edge of East Haven. And East Haven is one of the three, like, large towns in 10 towns. You can see even before you approach that these watchtowers have been built all around the roads. They don't seem to be manned, but you can see that some of them are in construction, so it looks like the town has started to take defense really seriously. And as you're looking at the edges of town, you can see a bunch of buildings, you know, along this lakeside community here. The lake itself is just frozen up completely, which has been devastating, you know, for local fishers and traveling to other towns. But it's sort of odd, as you get closer and closer to the walls of East Haven,
you don't seem to see anyone on the roads. No watch people, no one really patrolling. You can tell that from the center of town, there's like an orange light, almost like a huge bonfire that you can make out from the distance, though you're too far away to see exactly what's going on.
That seems weird.
I have bad feeling.
Yeah.
Let's sneaky sneak close to that fire, get a better look.
Yeah. So you want to pass through the abandoned, like, guard points and enter the town of East Haven?
Yeah.
So you continue onwards, and, you know, the silence is just eerie at this point as you pass through the main gates. But then you begin to hear in the distance, around where that fire must be, voices calling out, laughter, people yelling. So some kind of big event that maybe has drawn everybody in town. Do you want to continue to press forward?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe we should do it stealthily so as to not, you know, get everyone's attention.
Sure. You want to do a group stealth? Group stealth check? Sure. Mm-hmm. Go for it.
I'm going to guidance myself.
Yay. 22.
I've got a 13.
Stealth. Ooh. 19.
11. Good.
Unnatural 20.
Oh, okay. Okay. That's three successes. So you're fine as a group. So you all really, you know, you stick to the sides of these like ramshackle buildings that make up the town and really creep through the alleys and passageways. And whatever this source of light is, it's definitely at the center of town. And you poke around the corner as you finally see what's going on in front of like a large building that must probably be the town hall. You see that like 100 people have gathered, which is probably the entire population of East Haven, around this central square where they have erected this big pole. And you see that tied to it is a human man who's clearly dressed in like wizard robes. Like you see these scarlet robes embroidered with gold. And this figure has been tied there. And you see that people are throwing torches at this bundle of kindling around the base of this individual. And people chant and shout in excitement as you see this crowd gathered in front of the town hall watches this public execution. So you see this man here in the wizard's robes. He's bound to a stake. He's gagged. Members of the militia use torches to light the straw tucked under his feet. And fanned by the wind, the fire catches so quickly. And this wizard, he doesn't struggle. He doesn't scream. As you see, he is quickly engulfed in flames. And as this man burns and you start to get the scent of flesh that's moving over, you see that the people in the crowd move closer, huddling up to the warmth of the fire. And that's where we're gonna end for today.
Okay, cliffhanger, like
bring the community right together, you know?
You just walked into a super cool Saturday night.
Oh dear.
Life in the big city.
This is fine. Everything's fine.
Oh, I'm so glad you all survived the Black Cabin. See, it wasn't so bad.
Ooh, right?
Just that 31 casual damage. Sure.
It's fine. It's fine. In East Haven, it's fine. It's just Icewind Dale is just a really nice place to live, I think, is the bottom line.
You're definitely buying a timeshare here.
Oh, yeah. I want to visit.
I'd rather be in Barovia. Come on.
Yeah, I want to kick you. That's fair, honestly. That's really fair. Oh, man. At least they have, like, nice wine and, you know, inns there.
What do you, they don't have wine.
It's
nice
on a different plane of existence.
Right,
like, yeah, so you don't feel so bad about it being real.
Nice wine and ice wine.
Yep. Yes, well, thank you all so much for being here. My name is Celeste Konowich. I have been your dungeon master tonight.
And I'm Joe. I have played Gob, your North fighter.
I'm Katie. I played Madava Tinkabobble, your human wizard.
And I'm Nassim. I played your Kalishtar cleric, Xena Arendi.
And I'm Sage, and I have been your spirit-talking druid, Inga Salenin.
And last but not least, I'm Vincent, your warlock with a big personality, Veronica.
Oh, yes. And I will say, for solving the black cabin and surviving its perils, you all gain a level. So you are going to be leveling up. So we are stepping up to level 5.
Yes,
now.
My body is ready.
The power.
Yes, those level 3 spells. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. So you all will be level 5 as you take on the troubles in East Haven and see where you go from there. But thank you, everybody, so much for joining us. I'm having so much fun running this campaign. It is just such a delight to be running my friends through something I helped write for Wizards of the Coast, of all things. This is a sheer delight. If you are new to the stream, you can catch all the episodes we have done already. So our Session 0, Episode 1, Episode 2 on our YouTube channel. So just type in Venture Maiden into YouTube and you can go and check out those episodes. We would also love if you recommended this show to a friend. Maybe you have a DM who's curious about running Rime of the Frost Maiden. Send them over our way. Please do follow, like, subscribe. It really helps us out to grow the channel and keep making this great, great content for you all. And do make sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook at Venture Maidens. Well, thank you all so much for being here. We will be back in 2 weeks with episode 4. So that's going to be the 27th. Same place, same time. And until then, everybody.
Stay frosty.
Oh my God, we're the worst.
Stay frosty. I did it. I jumped the gun. Oh, stay frosty.
Thanks for tuning in to episode 3 of our Rime of the Frost Maiden playthrough. If you like what we've been doing here at Venture Maidens and want to get access to all kinds of extra goodies like other campaigns we've played, DM notes of both myself and Celeste, monthly coloring sheets, and so much more, head over to our Patreon at patreon.com/venturemaidens. And at just $1 a month, you can get access to all that I've just mentioned and more. Before we sign off, just one last note. If you've ever wanted to play in a game with Celeste or Cassie of the Lovecraftians or many other amazing and talented storytellers, then check out Start Playing Games. What is Start Playing Games? It's an online platform that connects professional game masters to tabletop roleplayers. With Start Playing Games, game night is never canceled and there are dozens of games every day. There are games for a variety of tabletop RPG systems and both campaign and one-shot adventures to join. Head to startplaying.games to find a storyteller and a group that's perfect for you. That's all I've got for you now, folks. We'll catch you next time.